All righty. Praise the Lord. We are reading about the Passover today. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. Bible says, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, 'This month is to be for you the first month, the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people that are there. You are to determine the amount of each lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect. You may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw." Can I get a witness on that? I don't know about raw goat, you know. Okay. "Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts." That's guts. "Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are able to spare us, Lord, from the judgment that comes, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you are able to make a distinction between those who have the blood and those who do not. Lord, we thank you that we can indeed come into the covering, Lord, of your blood. Lord, that you protect us, Lord, from judgment, Lord, that you spare us from that. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Talentos today. How many of you know what talentos are? Right? Talentos. How many of you know what that is? That is the border crossing. Oh, my. Lisa and I worked at an orphanage, same orphanage that Julie Camacho worked at for 3 years over in Tecate, which is just east of Tijuana. And we would not cross at the San Ysidro crossing. We would cross at Otay Mesa, which I believe that is, I don't know, that's San Ysidro, isn't it? Yeah. So Otay Mesa was a little bit quicker, all right, for us, and it was closer to the orphanage. But how many of you have never been through the border crossing? Never been. Jimmy, that's it? Everybody else has been through the border cross? Joe, you've never been? All right, let's go. All right, paying attention now. How many of you have never been through the border crossing? So just some young people. All right, okay. Mainly some in people. What happens is you ride in this, you ride in the line, you get all these people selling stuff, and you get up to about here, man, and these border patrol agents start walking through with dogs, and they are sniffing for drugs. And they will, as you draw closer, there's a Border Patrol agent that's standing there. And he is the man. Help me out, young people. Thank you. And as you draw closer and closer and closer and closer, and finally you will come up to the red light. And the red light says, stop. And then when he says, go to the person in front of you, the light will turn green and you will go into the judgment zone. And what that guy is going to do is he will come in, stick his head in your car, look at everybody, and he'll say, citizenship. At least that's where it was back in the day. And you say, U.S., 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 right? And then sometimes they might go, what are you doing in Mexico? Right? And they are looking at you, and they're trying to figure out if you got drugs in your car, paraphernalia in your car, people in your car, all kinds of stuff. They want to see if you are smuggling something. They are inspecting you. And when that guy comes and he says, I think you're safe, he'd give you the magic word of pass. And man, when you could be driving through there with nothing in your, if you go to second, how many of you guys been to secondary? Secondary takes some more time. Oh yeah, they're going to go through your stuff. You all want, even if you got nothing, if you got something in your car, you really don't want to go to secondary. But if you got nothing, you still don't want to go to secondary. It's such a pain. Oh, I could tell you some, well, I'm not going to tell you some stories, but I could tell you some stories. But, and so when that guy says, pass, you know that feeling? It's like, oh, yeah, I passed the inspection. Today's message is called Inspected by God, because God is talking about an inspection. And what God is looking for blood. God is going to be going through on the night of the 10th plague. We've been talking about these plagues. Last week we talked about 9 plagues. We talked about the Nile turning into blood. We talked about frogs coming out of the Nile. We talked about gnats. We talked about flies. We talked about livestock. We talked about boils. We talked about hail, locusts, darkness. And the last one is the plague of the firstborn. And that's what we read about, where God would come through and would kill the firstborn of Egypt. The plague of the firstborn. And as you look at it from the Israelite standpoint, from the Jew standpoint, it's good times, right? From the Egyptian standpoint, it's the plague of the firstborn. From the Jewish standpoint, it is the Exodus. It is when they are set free from slavery. Amen? And so when you look at judgment, when you're up at the borderline and that guy's looking at you doing, oh my, you get past, it's like, woohoo! Made it through, yeah! And some people don't make it through. Some people go into second, some people get arrested. Some people go to prison. So depending on which side of the judgment you're on is whether or not it's a good thing or a bad thing. God's going to set his people free. He's been preparing Moses. And tonight's the night. And we're going to take a look at being inspected by God. Does that sound good? Amen. All right, let's take a look. Oh, let me set this up. He's looking for blood. And he's looking for hyssop. And what you would do, this is, this looks like hyssop, don't it? Kind of. It's not hyssop. But, no, sir, it does not look like pot. What you would do is you would kill the lamb and you would collect the blood and then you would dip this and you would paint it on the doorpost, right? And if God saw the blood, he would pass over your house. Inspected by God. God's looking for blood. All right, let's continue on. We're going to go back to chapter 11. We're going to kind of set this up, talk about that 10th plague, talk about the Passover. Chapter 12 talks about this. The Passover is still celebrated today by the Jews. He said, this is to be a lasting regulation for you guys, an observance for you, that you and all the people, all the Jews are to continue to do. And this year, on March 25th through April 2nd, the Jews will celebrate Passover. It is something that they do, dare I say, religiously. Okay? All right. We're going to talk about how all this works and what is its impact on us as Christians. So, chapter 11, verses 4 through 6, Moses said, this is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who sits on the throne, to the firstborn son of the slave girl, who is at her handmill, and all the firstborn cattle. You know, they worship cattle kind of like they do in, like the Hindus do. You know, and so I say, hey, man, I am sending a message. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again. And we are talking indeed of the death of the firstborn. And as we take a look at that, God wants to make an impact. God wants to make a statement. God is going to take action. And notice that it is God who does it. He does not send the archangel Gabriel, Daniel. He does not send the archangel Daniel or Gabriel. There's not really actually an archangel called Daniel. But there is a guy in the book named Daniel. But he does not send Michael, Gabriel, and angels, Elijah. He comes himself. God comes close. Bible says, my arm is not grown short, too short to save. Amen? And God is going to make this statement to his people, I will set you free. God is going to make a statement to the Egyptians that your Pharaoh says he is God, and let me show you that there is indeed a God in heaven. Amen? God wants you to know that there is a God in heaven, that he draws near, that he steps into history, that he steps into people's lives. In the same way that Pastor Scott was saying, man, God stepped into my life this week. He didn't stop the guys from stealing my truck and stealing my wife's car, but he sure brought reparation when that happened. Amen? There's a judgment that's going to happen to who? That thief. There is a judgment that's going to happen. But God comes and brings blessings to Scott in the midst of that judgment. Amen? Amen. He says, there is going to be death that comes to every home in Egypt, from the house of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the slave girls. It is God who does it. God gets right nice and close on that. He says, Exodus chapter 12, 29a, at midnight the Lord struck down the first. It wasn't the death angel. It wasn't the devil. You know, I'm going to set the devil. No, God himself brings judgment. There's some kind of people say, wait, a loving and merciful God doesn't do that stuff. No, I don't believe in a God like that. And people forget that God is kind. Amen? God is kind. Amen? Amen. God is loving. Amen? Amen? God is merciful. Amen? And God is just. And what people want in our culture is they think that God is just going to let go that just part because he's kind and because he's merciful. God is going to let that just part go, that holiness part go, because he's kind and because he's merciful. God shows his mercy because he sends 10 plagues. He could have started with the plague of the firstborn. Bam! No, he warms them up. He says, let me show you who I am. Let me show you what I can do with the Nile. Oh, your magicians can do that? Let me show you what I can do with some frogs. Oh, your magicians can do that? Let me show you what I can do with dust. Turn into, oh, your magicians can't do that. Let me show you what I can do with flies. And tell you what, I'm going to do my flies, and my people aren't going to be impacted by those flies. And all the rest of the plagues, his people were not impacted. Let me show you what's going to happen with hail. Let me show you what's going to happen with locusts. Let me show you what's going to happen with boils. Let me show you what's going to happen with livestock. Let me show you what's going to happen with darkness. Darkness that will hit your soul. Let me show you who I am. Before I hit you with it all, I want you to know who I am. And in my mercy, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond before the judgment comes. That's a kind and loving and merciful God. Amen? Paul says, hey, man, God shows us his kindness by being patient. So we have the opportunity to be saved. Amen? 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 All right. Then we see God can pick and choose. God makes a distinction. He says, among the Israelites, not a dog will. It's going to be just a calm night. There's going to be a wailing that goes out from every home in Egypt. Every home is going to be touched by death. My father died of asthma. It was totally unexpected. I don't know how many of you have lost a loved one because of a car accident or because of a shooting or a murder or whatever, or just this a heart attack just comes out of nowhere. Bam! What do you mean he's dead? Every, and your life. How many of you have had that happen? Lisa's half-brother was murdered. And your life just seems to come to stop. Boom. And you just wonder, how can everybody else just be going along with their life when my life has just come screeching to a halt? And here, every home in Egypt was having that experience. Oh, and a wailing goes out. But for the Israelites, not even a dog was barking. And he says, because of this, you will know that the Lord makes a distinction. The Lord makes a judgment between Israel and between Egypt. Now, I mentioned he's been doing that for the last five plagues. But this time he does it different. He says, I am looking for blood. This time, you guys get to choose. Now, I've given you nine plagues to warm you up. You can know that I am for real. And I cannot imagine somebody thinking that God is just joking, but I got to think, out of all the Jews, that there were some that were thinking, you know what? I don't think God's really going to do this. I think maybe one. Maybe there were some that just said, you know what? I don't think he's going to be able to tell. There's 2-3 million Jews down here, 600,000 homes. How's he really going to be able to tell if I got blood? Maybe they didn't really want to sweat getting a lamb or a goat. Maybe they just go out and find a cat or a rat. Or maybe they just try and find some paint. God ain't going to know. My son has a new favorite food. I think I mentioned this before. He is the cream cheese boy. Give it to me on bread. Give it to me on a bagel. I just eat bricks of this stuff. Oh, yeah, man. Where has this stuff been my whole life? Look, been right in the fridge, man. There it is. And so Lisa says, oh, man, he's just devouring this stuff. So at the food distribution, I'm seeing, hey, there is some Philadelphia cream cheese. Bring it home to Joe, man. He starts slathering that stuff on and saying, what is this stuff? Fat free. What is this, man? What is this fake? Now, my son can tell the difference between fat free and fatted. I think God can tell the difference. You want to try and fake out God? You ain't going to have a good day. My son can tell the difference between fat-free cream cheese and regular cream cheese. Our Lord can tell the difference of the blood of the lamb and a fake. Because God's going to make an inspection. And God is looking for the blood. Amen? All right. God's going to make a declaration. He is going to declare who he is. I am the creator of the universe. I am the one who comes near to you. And in chapter 12, 29 through 30, at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh sat on the throne to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was a loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone who is dead. Judgment has an impact. The judgment of God changes things. Are you tracking with me? God wants everybody to know, hey, I am here and I am close. He makes a statement and he says, what's going to happen on March 25th? There is a celebration of Passover. Why? Because a declaration is still being made. What? That God makes judgment. that God will step into history, that God will make a judgment, that God is looking, and he's going to make a distinction between his people and not his people. God wants people to know that God will make a judgment for sin. He brought judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah for the sin of sexual immorality. Homosexuality. You want to start messing around with a girl down the street? It's all the same. You have the ability to have intimate relationships with one person, the person you are married to. Anything other than that is sin. And God will do what? God will bring judgment. Mount Carmel, prophets of Baal were judged for the sin of idolatry. God sent fire down as proof of what? That he was indeed the God in heaven who comes near to men. And all those prophets were killed, put to death by the prophet Elijah. God makes a judgment. People say, oh, God doesn't, kind of merciful God doesn't do that stuff. No, man, all through the Bible he says, I am going to make a judgment, a righteous judgment. Talks about in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 11 and 12. It's in the book. God says, don't cut anything out of the book. Don't add anything to the book. Look at the end of the book. I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Sky and earth fled from his presence. Does that sound powerful to you? Oh, yeah. There was no place for them, and I saw the dead, great and small. Who did he judge in Egypt? Pharaoh all the way to the slave. Amen? I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done in the books that record every act you've ever made. And if you have sinned one time, you will be thrown into the lake of burning sulfur that was created for the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet. And there will be torment there day and night forever and ever unless you have the blood of Christ applied to your account. See, God's going to make a judgment. God's going to make an inspection, and he's looking for blood. Make sense? All right. Point number three. Oh, sorry. Second half point three. Pharaoh's on the wrong end of the judgment, folks. The Egyptians are on the wrong end of the judgment. Pharaoh's child is taken from him, and he is broken by the judgment. The loud wailing that goes up from all of Egypt. They are wailing. Why? Because their lives are broken. They are broken by the judgment of God. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, up, leave my people, you and the Israelites, go and worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds, if you have said, and go and bless me. This is the guy who said, who is this God that I should worry about him? Who is this Moses that I should worry about him? Who is this guy Aaron who wants to come into my place? Why should I care about you? He has now come from the part where he is declaring himself God, where he would demand the worship of all the Egyptians towards him, to now understanding what? That there is indeed a God in heaven. And he comes to God and says, my life is so broken. Is there a blessing for me? And I don't know where you at or in your life, that you have come to that point where you have come to the realization that you realize that you are indeed broken, and you might come before the Lord. Say, oh Lord, is there a blessing for me? Is there an opportunity for me to leave the brokenness of my life behind and make a fresh new start? Is there an opportunity for me to pass the inspection? Amen? All right. Your sin will find you out. There are some people who think they don't need the blood. There's some people who don't want to hear about it. That's what Pharaoh was thinking. And God has a remedy for that. Chapter 1 of Romans. Paul talks about those people who ignore the truth of God as he reveals himself to them. He says, no, I don't want any of that. How many of you people know somebody who doesn't want any of the truth of God? How many of you in your life in the past did not want anything about God? You say, I don't want any of that stuff. Get that crud away from me. And you know, God has a remedy for that. Worked in my life. It might have worked in yours. He said, since they did not think, since Bob did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave Bob over to a depraved mind. Did that happen to anybody else or just me? To do what ought not to be done. And what happened in my life is sin tore me up. And that is what happened with Pharaoh. Sin, the sin of pride, the sin of arrogance, tore him up until his family life was broken. And his response was, Moses, get out of here, but can you bless me as you go? Lord, I need a blessing. And if you're here this morning and your life is broken, and some of your lives are broken, some of you have made poor choices, and you're saying, man, I got to get a reapplication in my life. Been failing the inspections. I got all kinds of garbage going on in my life because I don't have any of the blood. It's worn thin. I need a fresh coat. I need to be touched by the Lord. Will you bless me? I'm here to let you know this morning that the Holy Spirit is here. The Bible says that where two or three are gathered in his name, that he is right here with us. And that you can get a blessing today. That as Scott's life was, as he said on Monday afternoon, he was just having a pity party. I have been ripped off. I have been broken. The Lord says, let me show you what I can do. How many of you have discovered what God can do in your life? Amen? It is, he is a good God. He draws near, and he will guide you through the dark times. Amen? Amen? All right, here we go. The Israelites plunder Egypt. There is a blessing for the Israelites. Man, they are leaving. Let me just read it. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. I mean, can you imagine? You just lost your son, and the Israelite comes and says, hey, can you give us some gold? We're leaving. God made them favorably disposed toward the Egyptian, and they gave them what they asked for, and so they plundered the Egyptians. They said, get out of here. Get out of here because we'll die next. They were broken, and they weren't asking for a blessing. They left with the wealth of Egypt. And they left Egypt just destroyed. I mean, you take a look. The fishing industry was huge in Egypt because you had the Nile going right through. And all the fish died when the Nile turned to blood. Totally destroyed. You take a look at, I don't know what they're doing for frog legs. They had a bunch and then they had not too many. Take a look at the crops. The crops were destroyed by the hail and by the locusts. Take a look at their livestock. You had the plague on the livestock. Then you had the hail killing livestock. And then you had the death of the firstborn killing livestock. Man, they are leaving. Now they got the slave labor. All their labor force is leaving. They are shattered. And that is what our lives will look like if we fail to walk with the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Amen. Last thing we're going to take a look at this morning. That the Exodus is an opportunity. This morning is an opportunity for some of you to come into the family of God. To be able to walk into the inspection that is coming with confidence in your heart, knowing that you will pass by the judgment of God. You'll get that pass in your life. The Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. There were 600,000 men. That's just men. That doesn't include women. That doesn't include kids. Talking about 600, there could be some single men. So let's say 500,000 homes, households. You got 600,000 men, maybe 600,000 women. Adding kids, that's where you come up with a 2 to 3 million number. They say left Egypt. Many other people went up with them, as well as large droves of livestock, both flocks and hers. Many other people went with them, and we have to ask ourselves the question, who went with them? See, there were those who recognized the truth as they were leaving, saying, hey, you guys have got the truth. You guys have got the relationship with the God who is in heaven, and we want to go with you. Amen? Amen. Maybe you have come to that realization. Now, but who would that have been? Perhaps other slaves, right? Because you take a look at the path, you wonder who left and whether or not there was Egyptians that left. Because some of the other slaves, they'd be going, oh, yeah, man, and we saw all this other stuff. We pulled in our livestock. We came in out of the hail. We know that there is a God in heaven. We want to go with you guys. And we have to ask ourselves this question. Did they participate in the Passover? Because the Bible says, don't let anybody who's not a member of the family of God, who's not a member of the tribe of Israel, participate in the Passover. If he's not circumcised, don't let him do it. But you wonder how many people were looking to sign up as the word went out. On the 10th day, you grab a lamb. What's going on? What's going on? Oh, God says, can we do that? Can we join you? Because I cannot imagine somebody whose child was killed by the Lord wanting to leave and then worship the Lord. Are you tracking with me on that? I mean, these people are broken, bless me, and leave. And so you have to ask yourself whether or not some of those other slaves got some hyssop and killed a lamb and put it on their doorposts. And whether or not, as the Lord went by, said, I see that blood. I'm going to pass over. And you ask yourself, perhaps were there any Egyptians like the officials who took their livestock in when they heard that the hail was going to come and they were spared and said, man, this guy is not joking around. And the Lord came by and said, I see that blood. I don't know what happened then, but I do know that the Exodus was an opportunity for not just some people, but many people to join the people of God. Are you a part of the family of God this morning? God touched your heart? There's an inspection coming. Passover is going to be celebrated April 25th. I'm sorry, March 25th through April 2nd. And you might be thinking, man, we should be celebrating Pat. How many think, man, that's pretty cool, man. You know, they're cooking goat and lamb downstairs. Man, we could have Passover feast today. Are you tracking with me? It's like, hey, man, these Jews have been doing this for 3,000 years now. We should be celebrating that. Lisa, you want to come up? We don't celebrate Passover because there's something else that we celebrate. You see, how many of you guys heard of the Last Supper? The Last Supper was the Passover meal. Wait a minute. Yeah, the night that Jesus was betrayed, that was the Passover meal where they ate the lamb that was killed, that they took in for the 4 days, and they put their cloaks in their belts, and they were eating it in haste. That was the meal that Jesus took bread and said, this is my body given for you. That was the meal where after the meal he took a cup and he said, in this cup is my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins. Amen? And Jesus was crucified on the third day he arose, and we call that day Easter. So we don't celebrate Passover, we celebrate the resurrection. of who? John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that what? That takes away the sins of the world. Amen? Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I want to say 5:27, Christ, our Passover Lamb, is sacrificed for us. See, there's a judgment day that's coming. Everybody's going to go before the white throne. And there's a book that's open. And the first book he's going to look at is whether or not your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whether or not you have the blood of the Lamb on the door of your heart. Whether or not you have asked Jesus to come into your life and bless you. Lord, I'm so broken. My life of sin has destroyed me. I surrender my life to you, and I'll follow you all my days. If you've done that, at judgment day, God will look and see the blood of Christ on your heart, and he will pass over you, and you will be spared. Isn't that good? Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to come in from out of the cold, Lord. That we can come out of the darkness and into the light, Lord. That you would indeed put your blood on our hearts, Lord. That we might pass through the judgment seat and pass into eternal life with you. We sit here this morning, some of you, many of you, have done that. But perhaps you have become accustomed to saying no to God of late. Perhaps you feel more like Pharaoh this morning than you feel like Moses. Because Moses is pressing on. Next week we are talking about the Exodus and crossing the Red Sea and Moses saying, let's go. But perhaps you've been God of your life lately. Maybe you feel like Pharaoh and said, who is God that I should listen to him? You know what? I don't think God's really going to. I think God is good and kind, a merciful God, and he ain't going to let anybody in. And this morning, you realize God's not joking. He judged Sodom. He judged Gomorrah. He judged the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and he judged Egypt. And there's a day that's coming, and everybody's going to go before that judgment seat, and he's going to be inspecting whether or not you've got the blood of the Lamb on you. And right now, the Holy Spirit is telling some of you, you got no blood. You are in danger. And as we pray, and nobody's looking around, and the Lord is speaking to your heart, saying, watch out. I've given you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. There's a day that's coming, and it is no joke. And you are in danger. And this morning, I will come to you, and I will take the hyssop, and I will put the blood of my son upon your account. And nobody looking around. This is real deal stuff this morning. You're saying, I want to know for sure that I'm going to pass through. I want the blood of Jesus applied to my account. Nobody looking around. The Lord is speaking to your heart. You just say, Lord, with an upraised hand, I don't want to leave here the way I came in, Lord. Save me. Bless me. You're here this morning. God is speaking right to your heart. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, here I am. Lord, cleanse me anew. Here. Anybody else? Say, that's me this morning. Back here. Anybody else? Say, that's me. I'll tell you, you know what I smell? I smell lamb right now. It's a good smell. He said, you know, there's a great smell that was going up all over Egypt that night as the lamb was roasted. We get to heaven. It's going to be a celebration like the wedding feast of the lamb. What it takes for admission, the blood of the Lamb. Stand with me, will you? I'm going to say a prayer. At least you're going to sing a song. Lord Jesus, I pray for these two, Lord. That you meet them here, Lord. That you take that hyssop, Lord. That you take that blood, put it to their account, Lord. And on inspection day, Lord, we'll get that word we want to hear. Pass on by. And we will pass into eternity with you. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Glory.